from KQED.
Good morning, I'm Tara Seiler in for Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Pension fund officials around the country are no doubt holding their collective breath as the city of Stockton heads to federal court today. The city declared Chapter 9 bankruptcy last year following the mortgage crisis and needs to prove to the court it should be given protection from creditors. The city plans to continue paying for pensions while cutting its repayments to bondholders. It's those bondholders who are challenging the city's Chapter 9 filing, arguing Stockton should have cut pensions before declaring bankruptcy. A ruling against Stockton could serve as a warning to public pension funds around the country, where many cities are struggling to stay afloat. California is opening its first bank for human stem cells. Taxpayers are giving more than $30 million to a handful of scientists to begin cultivating the cells. This effort to bank stem cells is the nation's most ambitious, according to Dr. Uta Grieshammer with California Stem Cell Agency. Grieshammer says grantees will use Nobel Prize-winning breakthroughs to create stem cells from blood cells.
By taking blood from people, which is very easy to get from people who might have heart disease or brain disease, turning the blood into a cell, the stem cell, that then can be turned into a heart cell or a brain cell to study, we now suddenly have the opportunity to accelerate the research that will lead to new drugs.
The stem cell bank will open at the Buck Institute for Research on Aging in Marin, but it won't be fully stocked for another few years. History will be made this week when the U.S. Supreme Court hears oral arguments on the constitutionality of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA, and Proposition 8, California's ban on same-sex marriage. The California Report's Scott Schaefer is in Washington, D.C. for 2 days of arguments and has this look at what's at stake.
On Valentine's Day last month, about a dozen gay and lesbian couples showed up at San Francisco City Hall. They wanted something they knew they couldn't have, a marriage license. The protest, organized by Marriage Equality USA, happens every year, and every year, the couples are turned away. Tom Watson from Daly City came with his partner.
You're never really fully prepared for what it's going to feel like yet again to be turned down for something that you want so badly and that other people take for granted.
The right to get that legal document from a county clerk is what tomorrow's Supreme Court hearing is all about. Whether California's Proposition 8 violates equal protection under the law, guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution. To the sponsors of Prop 8, like ProtectMarriage.com attorney Andrew Pugno, California voters had a very good reason for limiting marriage to one man and one woman.
We'd be in a very different world if a small minority can choose a new lifestyle and then insist on a constitutional right, to have government uphold that choice as an ideal.
In legal briefs filed with the Supreme Court, Pugno's legal team argues the rationale for Prop 8 is that marriage is the only thing that links biological parents with their children.
And if the parents, are not encouraged to bind themselves together for the benefit of the children, then ultimately it's the children that suffer.
But don't tell that to Chris Perry. She and her partner Sandy Steer are plaintiffs who sued in federal court to have Prop 8 overturned. Perry says their children are the exact reason they want to get married.
We've been together for more than 13 years. We've raised 4 boys. There is nothing that would make that more real and permanent than the right to be married.
2 federal courts have already ruled that preventing gay and lesbian couples from getting married serves no rational purpose and is based on prejudice. Stanford Law School professor Jane Schachter says the fate of Prop 8 may hinge on how the justices view the motivations behind banning gay marriage.
On this fundamental question, what is the government's reason for doing this? If it's no more than prejudice or animosity toward the disadvantaged group, then Prop 8 is not going to stand.
If Prop 8 is struck down, gay and lesbian couples will be able to get married in California. But those marriages still won't be recognized by the federal government for things like filing joint taxes, Social Security benefits, or inheritance taxes, unless the Supreme Court also strikes down the Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA. That issue will be heard Wednesday. And no one will be watching more carefully than San Francisco resident Karen Galinsky. She and her partner got married in California when it was legal, but then Galinsky couldn't add her wife to her health plan.
I'm
tired of my life being so much harder than everybody else's. I just want it to be the same. I'm not asking for special benefits or special privileges. I just want to be treated equally like all my neighbors.
Galinsky is raising a 10-year-old son with her spouse, Amy Cunninghis, who agrees the unequal treatment takes a financial and emotional toll on both of them.
It is frustrating, complicated, and galling to be legally married and then to not have that marriage be recognized by everyone.
The Obama administration has weighed in on both cases, urging the Supreme Court to strike down DOMA and Prop 8. UC Davis law professor Vic Amar says when it comes to Prop 8, the court has many options.
It could rule very broadly in either direction. It could strike down all bans on same-sex marriage. It could uphold all regulation or prohibition on same-sex marriage. Or it could, like the Ninth Circuit, try to do something in between.
Meaning strike down Prop 8 on narrow grounds that apply only in California. Since Prop 8 passed, support for gay marriage has gradually grown. Just this month, a statewide poll found that 61% of California voters now support allowing gays and lesbians to marry. Legal briefs opposing Prop 8 have been filed with the court by Fortune 500 companies and prominent Republicans. But will the court be influenced by shifting attitudes, or will it just allow each state to decide for itself? Ryan Anderson, a fellow at the Conservative Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C., frames it this way.
Will the Supreme Court allow citizens and their elected officials to make marriage policy, or will the Supreme Court cut democratic deliberation short, create another Roe v. Wade, and another 40-year culture war?
But for Sandy Steer, one of the people suing to overturn Prop 8, the wait has gone on long enough.
We have no idea when marriage will be legal in California, but what we do know is that when it is legal in California, we'll be the first in line.
Steer and her partner will be in the courtroom tomorrow morning with their twin sons. The justices will issue their rulings on both Prop 8 and DOMA by the end of June. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer.
Also planning to sit in the courtroom this week is the first cousin of Chief Justice John Roberts. According to the LA Times, Jean Podrasky, who is a lesbian, will be sitting with her partner in the section reserved for family members and guests of the Chief Justice. That's the California Report for Monday, March 25th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Tara Seiler. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by URS, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical support to public agencies and private companies. URS.com. And the California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org.